As I read in Hebrews chapter 13, and you saw it in your Bibles, we are to remember those who are in bonds as bound with them, and those who are suffering adversity, because we are also in the body. Do not overlook the fact and point that the body of Christ, yes, there's a local body, but ultimately there is a church across the world that has one head, Jesus Christ, and we're all part of that body. And as some of our own suffer, our body is suffering. I, like you, sit in a comfortable home having everything I need and everything I want here in America. As a believer, I have freedoms to worship and to live as I desire. But there are people around the world who do not enjoy such privileges, such blessings. As we talked about in our Sunday school hour, we interacted a bit with what we heard. And I know that some of us, we hear such testimonies and we can be quick to critique. But I appreciated the rawness and realness of my brother as he is reacting and responding to what has just happened in his country and in his life. As I listened to this, my heart was brought to the Psalms. And so I encourage you to look at your Bibles in Psalm chapter 3 and 4. I like the Psalms because they're raw. I like the Psalms because there are times when we are a bit uncomfortable with some of the statements that are made. But yet what we do know is we know they're inspired by God, and we get to watch how God intervenes in the psalmist's life. Here we're listening to David, and we're listening to the rawness of David's life. In Psalm chapter 3, he's running from his own son Absalom, who has usurped the throne and seeking to establish his own kingdom. As we have already read these Psalms, it is clear that there are enemies, persecutors, oppressors in David's life. And he's wrestling with that, interacting with that reality. This is true of the church today. There are oppressors and persecutors of the church today. And we must understand and know that and remember that. For today, it may be in Afghanistan, but tomorrow, it could be here. You're looking at your Bibles, chapter 3, Psalm 3, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now, this is raw, isn't it? We can critique this and theologically say you're wrong. You shouldn't feel that way, but let's be real. We are people in a sin-cursed world with God-given emotion and feeling, and we encounter troubles and difficulties in our life. And listen, it is okay to express these things to God. You read through the entire book of Job, and you'll come across a lot of things where you're going to shake your finger at Job and say, Job, you shouldn't say those kinds of things. And yet, you come to the end of the book, and it is Job who is commended and his three friends who are not. Yes, we will at times say things that may not be theologically accurate at the moment, but they are the rawness of how we are feeling. But listen, God understands and knows that, and he can handle our deepest questions, our hardest statements. And here's what the beautiful truth is. Because our brother who has testified before us this morning has a faith in the Lord, we can be confident that the sun will shine in his life and overwhelm the gloom and darkness and fog that he feels today. Our God is faithful, and one of the beautiful things that Psalms do is they help us to know our God in the midst of our troubles. That gives us a picture of who he is, describes him as the rock we sang about today. Sometimes you may feel like everybody's out against you, and you truly do feel that way. Let's read on in verse 3 of Psalm 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Whoa, what's changed? Nothing has changed. It's only he is going to truth. And I don't know if you caught it as you listened to our brother in his testimony, but it started here. And as you got to the end, it was on its way up. Did you notice that? You could see and hear as he was communicating that it was doom and gloom. I'm alone and abandoned, but I will keep on. I will keep on serving. I will not run. I love that God knows who we are, and he knows how we are. And he knows that there are times when we have anxieties and troubles in our life and we have a hard time making sense of anything. I've experienced times where I've just wanted to curl up in a ball and say, let me alone. Maybe you have too. But the beauty of having a relationship with the Lord is that there is truth. And the psalmist here says, Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory, and you are the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. That is truth. This is one of those examples of why it is so precious to have people around you who love the Lord. Even in our marriage, Julia and I, it is very, very rare that we're both down. And I've experienced times when I have been very, very down, and God has used her to help put truth back into my life. This is why it's so special to have the body of Christ, the church. You look around here and there's people here that love the Lord, and who can you call when you are down? Who can you trust to share? Who can you trust to speak truth? Who can you trust to say, listen, the Lord is your shield. He's the lifter up of your head. Let's talk about the Lord. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You can't help but notice the change that truth brings. And listen, it does it. Truth changes your life. It is truth that took you from the depths of sin, being dead in your trespasses and sin. It's the truth of the grace and the love of God that changed your life forever and told you there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's through Jesus Christ that you can have eternal life. That's the truth that's changed your life. But even as a believer, there are times when you just need to hear the truth. And listen, truth changes your life because it sets your head and your eyes up. That's why he says you're the lifter up of my head. And I like that beautiful illustration. Isn't that what we do with our children? In just a small little way. They're afraid. And I have learned as a dad, at night when the nightmares happen and they come running to the side of the bed, I have learned to go with them and to be beside them in their bed and to what? To lift up their head. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Let's get our mind off of whatever you were thinking about and onto truth. Boy, we all need those times, don't we? We all need God to take us right here and just say, hey, look at me. As we share these are things not only that we can pray for ourselves, but we can pray for our suffering brother in Afghanistan. And not be so overwhelmed and troubled about what he is not seeing, but pray that he will enjoy the faithfulness of God once again. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Truth, truth, truth. Yes, God has smitten David's enemies. Yes, God has shown great victory. Yes, God has brought salvation. God has brought blessing on his people. And that word Selah, I love where it's placed, because it's placed there because these statements are given and you got to think about it. Notice where you see it in the psalm after verse 2, where he expresses just the raw emotion. Think about that. You see it at verse 4, where he cries out his prayer and his truth, and it is truth that becomes his focus. And you see it at the end as he contemplates the beautiful salvation and blessing of the Lord. How is it that someone can go from such a hard spot and depth and yet still be in that, but yet rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord? Church, listen, I don't know what the future holds for you and for me. I don't know what the future holds for my children. But I want to tell you, it does not look good. It looks pretty bleak. Get this, from American perspective. We've enjoyed so much here in America and as Christians. And we have begun to accept these things and take these things for granted. But listen, as I was reminded of this morning, China once had a vast, vast empire. Greece, the Persians, Babylon, Rome, vast empires. What happened to them? They all fell. But through it all, the church has remained. Why? Because God is in control. And we are God's people. And mighty empires will continue to rise and they will fall, but God will see his people through. God has a plan for us, and that is to be with him. So no matter if it is life or death, the promises stand. The truth is heard. He is faithful, and he will take us home. I love how he comforted his disciples. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. Were their hearts troubled? Yeah, their hearts were still troubled, especially as they watched him die. But he rose again, and he ascended up to the Father, and he said, in like manner, I will return. Now, Psalm chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. As the psalmist prays this, as he expresses this, you get to see where he's at. His desperate need for God. May we never get to the point where we lose the need for him. Where we have everything we could ever want and need, and we no longer have a need for God. He continues in verse 2 where he says, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? That's deception. That's lying. Selah. As I read through this, I believe it seems as if he is talking to his oppressors, to those who would be considered persecutors or his enemies. His cry out is his cry for them is to, he asks them these questions. How long are you going to act in this manner and loving vanity and seeking after lying? And as I read through this psalm, and this David is in a time of trouble, I hear him crying out to his oppressors with such compassion. And I was reminded of what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. One of those things that's incredibly hard to swallow, and yet it must be taught. Because in times of persecution and trouble, it is the attitude of Christ and truth that gets us through, not our own. And as Jesus declared in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he said in verse 43, as he declares God's view of righteousness, not man's, in fact, he's comparing it to man's. He's comparing it to that of the Pharisees. And he says in verse 43 of Matthew 5, you have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even the publicans, the tax collectors, the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do that? Be ye therefore perfect, complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I am not in a situation like our brother in Afghanistan. And neither are you. We can pretend today to understand, but we cannot. We have never gone through or experienced such things as they have. But someday we might. And I appreciate, as the psalmist here cries out concerning his enemies, why are you continuing in loving vanity and seeking after lying? That's what's happening. The Taliban. They have embraced lies and deception that is across the world, bringing millions of people into a Christless eternity. A doctrine that is false, that gives false hope. Church, we see that. We ought to know that. As we compare it to the Word of God. There is a world of people who are going to a Christless eternity. They are living in deception and lies. Instead of hating them, God help us to pray for them. This is not an easy thing. But listen, Christ acknowledges that. Because if you just do the easy thing, that's what everybody does. But we are of our Father in heaven. And He's a whole bunch different. And so we ought to be as well. And I have heard testimonies of those who've been imprisoned for their faith. And God works in their hearts to the point where they look at their persecutor, the very one who's torturing them. And I heard this once in a testimony. He looked at the very one who has been beating him for days, and he looks him in the eye and he says, "Can we be friends?" And that was the point of turning. Where we or he assumed this Christ-likeness. And this persecutor saw that and it made a difference. Listen, we have to make a difference. And let us pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan to stand strong and to live as their Father. Their Father in heaven. And as you pray, remember to pray for you. That we might not be a hypocrite. That I might, in my own times of needing to take a stand, stand as a child of the Father, of the King. That I assume that as my highest identity and not an American. Your identity is a citizen of heaven. Back to Psalm 4, he speaks to these sons of men. And I see in him a desire for them to understand the Lord as he sees them. As he sees the Lord, excuse me. Verse 3 of Psalm 4, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." What a prayer to pray for your enemy. Why are you going to love vanity and emptiness? Why are you going to seek after lying? Oh, know this, that the God of heaven, he has set apart those that are godly for himself. Yes, God has done that. Praise be to God that our Lord knows us, and he knows you, and he has set apart you as his child for himself. This is who you are, saint. Children of the King. May we not forget this, and may our enemies hear this. Listen, you may torture us. You may persecute us. You may say all kinds of despicable things about us. But we are not yours. We're His. You may kill us. But nevertheless, we're still in His arms. Stand in awe and sin not. Our God is awesome. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You know, I can only imagine what took place that day that that prisoner looked at that guard and said, "Let's be friends." After all the things that guard had done to him, "Let's be friends." What was that night like as he laid down? And as he thought through how despicable of a person he had been to this person, and yet the question was, "Let's be friends." You see, that's making a difference. That's when the true identity of who you are as a child of the Father has an impact in this world. You know, as I speak these things to you, can I just be real upfront with you? These things sound so hard to do, to live. And my prayer is that God would help me to stand and to practice what I preach. But I want you to understand something to me. This is not something I'm looking at and saying, "Got it. Not a problem." But this is where truth matters. And this is where the body of Christ matters. This is where you can speak truth into my life and where I can speak truth into your life. This is why we surround the Word of God on a regular basis to hear the truth, to set our minds right, to look up. Because so much of our time we're entrenched in the world. Not saying that we're living in sin, we're entrenched in the world's, the ideals of the world, and it's sometimes overwhelming, isn't it? I feel that way. God help us. You know what? He is. He is. And so verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. There be many that say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." When I read that phrase, and again, I'm preaching from my devotions this morning because I knew the Lord wanted us to talk about this, and you can reckon with God on that level. But when I first was interacting with this, I thought of the Hebrews in Egypt. And in fact, it was mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class. They're in Egypt in slavery. And I love this picture. It says, "Lord, lift thou up the light of your countenance upon us." In other words, "Lord, let us all see you." It's almost as if a video screen is coming up and saying, "This is who the Lord is." And boy, those Egyptians figured that out, didn't they? After all of the 10 plagues. At the Red Sea. Boy, the Israelites saw it. The pillar of fire at night. Light. Right? Light of his countenance. The cloud by day. The Shekinah glory in the tabernacle. Moses coming out and his face shining. The light of his countenance. Oh, the prayer, may that prayer be, "Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us." May you and your light, yourself, your person be known. Verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and I will sleep. For you, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Hear this, church, hear this. Your only sure place of security is in the Lord. That's it. How many times in life are you uncertain? Are you overwhelmed? Do you have fear? The only sure security is wrapped in the arms of God. You can go to sleep in peace. For the Lord only makest me dwell in safety. Don't miss that. I was sharing with a brother this morning. He was real enough with me to share. He was going through some anxiety, some challenges. And I shared with him that I will often wake up with those kinds of thoughts on my mind. I'll be laying there in bed and you do what you can to try to get rid of them. And I've realized that that's my cue, what? To get up and get to the Word. Get to the truth. And I want to do better with that. Because you know what? Sometimes what I do is that I'll get up and I'll bury myself into something else, a task or something other than the Word. That's only temporary. That's a distraction. It is only in the Lord that there is a sure place of security. So today, we pray for the church in Afghanistan. Today, we pray for the Church of America. Today, we pray for our own hearts. As we navigate troubled times, and these are troubled times. But God is not surprised. God is not moved. God is not forgotten. Remember whose you are. The Father's. Where do you look for security? The only sure place is in the Lord. We pray together, Father, for our dear brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. We pray and ask, Lord, that they would hear and know the truth again today. I do not chasten or chastise any of them for doubts and troubles they may feel. But rather, Lord, my prayer is that the truths that they have heard would come back to their minds and that you would lift up their heads, dear Father. That they would know your mercy and your grace and your peace today. I pray as I would, if I would desire others to pray for me in times of distress. I am sure, God, that I would have many moments of trouble in my mind and heart. And my prayer is, God, point us to truth. I am encouraged, Lord, that our brothers and sisters realize that deliverance isn't always the right prayer, but rather the strength and endurance to stand for you. I pray that you would grow your church. I pray for the oppressors and the persecutors. I pray that they would see the Father as the light is lived through your people. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your glory, that they may bring glory to you, Father. I thank you for this time together and for directing us in the scriptures. This is your time have your way and your will in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.